Blog Talk Radio.
I'm going to interrupt this broadcast for important news from the BBC. Please tune in.
To a standstill on Saturday as tens of thousands of people lined the streets for the funeral of the Iranian general Qasem Soleimani and the other people killed by a U.S. drone strike on Friday. Mourners carrying flags of militia groups chanted, "America is the enemy of God," as they received the funeral cortege in the Qadamiya district. The body of General Soleimani is to be returned to Iran for further funeral ceremonies. Iran's supreme leader, Ayatollah Ali Khamenei, has visited the general's family in Iran to pay his respects. The authorities have promised to make America pay. The U.S. is deploying an additional 3,000 troops to the Middle East. David Willis reports.
American officials say the airstrike that killed Qasem Soleimani was carried out in self-defense. Say the man who's been blamed for the deaths of hundreds of Americans in the Middle East over the years was plotting a major attack on U.S. diplomats and military personnel. At a rally last night in Florida, President Trump said that threat had now been lifted.
Qasem Soleimani has been killed and his bloody rampage is now forever gone. He was plotting attacks against Americans, but now we've ensured that his atrocities have been stopped for good. They are stopped for good.
Iran has vowed revenge, and amid heightened tensions, the U.S. is sending reinforcements to the region, 3,750 troops so far, and warning its citizens stationed in Iraq to get out as soon as they can. Qasem Soleimani was one of America's deadliest enemies, but the U.S. has yet to release intelligence information supporting its claim that he was planning a major attack. Administration officials insist, however, that hundreds of Americans could have died.
They were aiming to take down significant amounts of Americans that would have undoubtedly killed locals too, Iraqis, Lebanese, Syrians perhaps, people all throughout the region. This was an attack that would have been at some scale. We can't talk much much about the details, but suffice it to say the American people can know that the decision that President Trump made to take Qasem Soleimani down saved American lives.
Neither the U.S. nor Iran favors outright war, but the Trump administration's claim that taking out one of Iran's most powerful officials will prevent further bloodshed may soon be put to the test. David Willis, BBC News, Los Angeles.
Concerns about the security situation in the region have prompted this response from the British government. In a statement released a short while ago, it changed its travel advice to British nationals, advising against all travel to Iraq outside of the Kurdistan region. And it also upgraded its advice on traveling to Iran, saying only essential journeys should be made. Well, joining us to tell us more is Yaroslav Trofimov, the chief foreign affairs correspondent of the Wall Street Journal. He joins us now live from Dubai. Yaroslav, thanks so much. I'd like to look at Iran and its capabilities. What's your assessment of Iran's actual military capabilities?
Well, Iran is certainly in no position to have a major conventional conflict with the United States. The Iranian Navy is obsolete. The Iranian Air Force is basically no match for any of the air forces of its neighbors, not even the Saudis, let alone the U.S. Air Force. So Iran, once it retaliates, as it promised to retaliate, would try to do it asymmetrically through cyber warfare, through using its proxies, in, such as the Shiite militias that Qasem Soleimani has nurtured around the region in Lebanon, in Iraq, in Syria, and in Yemen.
Let's look at Iraq as well. The Iraqi parliament is to debate the presence of U.S. forces. Do you think it would really move to get rid of U.S. forces, or would it want to keep some U.S. forces as a protection against Iranian influence?
Well, there is a debate also within Iran itself, because not everybody in Iran wants the American forces to leave, because it's very convenient for the Iranians to have them as easy targets for retribution and as sort of a...
Tonight's show involves the death of Major General Qasem Soleimani, the commander of the Islamic Revolutionary Guard Corps, Quds Force. The U.S. is now in a major conflict with Iran face-to-face, which proliferated due to them approaching our embassy and trying to attack it through the doors, and kind of like on the surface, they didn't get very far. But then in retaliation, we sent drones over there. Over 41 people were killed, including the top military leader who has high stature in his own country. One of the writers in the Atlantic Monthly who served in the name Andrew Exum, who served in a capacity of the government, says, "I don't claim to be an expert on Iran. When I served as Deputy Assistant Secretary of Defense for Middle Eastern Policy, I used to remind my Iranian team at the Pentagon that my regional expertise ended at the Shatta al-Rab." Okay, I'm very tired. I work 13 hours, so I'm going to have to repeat this. This writer for the Atlantic Monthly was talking about his expertise ended with the Shatta al-Arab waterway that divides Iran and Iraq, which caused major conflict during that war that lasted 8 years between both countries, and then with the Arabic and Farsi-speaking regions of the Middle East. But I do know something of how important Qasem Soleimani was, because he spent more time in the Arabic-speaking world propping up Iranian allies from Iraq to Lebanon, from Syria to Yemen, than he did back home in Iran. From a military and diplomatic perspective, Soleimani was Iran's David Petraeus and Stan McChrystal and Brett McKirk all rolled into one. And that's now the problem Iran faces. I do not know of a single Iranian who has been more dispensable to his government ambitions in the Middle East. From 2015 to 2017, when we were in the heat of fighting against the Islamic State of the Levant in both Syria and Iraq, I would watch Soleimani shuttle back and forth between Syria and Iraq. When the war to prop up Bashar al-Assad was going poorly, Soleimani would leave Iraq for Syria, and when Iranian-backed militias in Iraq began to struggle with the Islamic State, Soleimani would leave Syria for Iraq. So basically, he was somebody who could navigate the underworld, and he could he had connections in all three of those countries, Syria, Iran, Iraq, and also Lebanon. And because of his background and expertise, in which he was involved with many brutal killings, the Iranian people hold him dear. Now, we have three people on the line, John, Don, and Wade. And I know Wade wants to touch upon a male-female subject, but we're going to start out the first 15 minutes with this major issue that's rocking the world right now, with expectations both by Russia and other major nations that it's going to be an unabridged outright war. One moment while I pull the people in. Hi, John. How are you doing tonight?
Excellent, Jane. My condolences to you and all your friends who support the Iranian government. It's a sad day for you, and I mourn your loss.
Hi, Don. How are you doing tonight?
I'm doing great for once and for a while, but I don't know what John is telling people who are mourning for.
I have no idea what the fuck he's talking about.
I have no idea.
I'm trying to take it from a foreign policy point of view, but of course he has to put political vitriol in it, so same shit, new day. Hi, Wade.
Yeah, well.
Hey.
How's your night going, and did you find a place to sit down? When I was talking to you guys earlier, I did mention Saturday was the first choice.
Oh, right. I thought you changed your mind, and then. That's okay. I can do this.
Well, I did want to make it for Sunday, but some people aren't available on Sunday. So,
no problem.
If anybody, first of all, this whole incident began with a embassy attack by a small group of people from Iran, which may have involved the QUS, and I'm not sure how to say that name, that aspect of the military guard. And the U.S. retaliated with a drone strike. And first we only sent in 100 to 200 Marines, but then now we have replenished the area in three different major cities in Iraq, including a border city in the southern part of Iraq, to get our Americans safely out of there and reinforce the region. So Don or John, whoever wants to start is fine with me.
Well, I thought
ahead,
I would
John.
Ask. The, hey,
go
John.
Ahead, John. I can't wait. I can't wait to hear what you're going to say.
Happy 2020 to you, Don.
Happy 2020 to you, too.
Excellent. Well, actually, I thought I would let our distinguished panel give us some information. I'm wondering if anyone can tell the public what three things has Donald Trump reinforced and stressed and spoken publicly that he wants in this situation with Iran. In fact, I'll help you guys. He actually, what he said is, and he's repeated this in his tweets and in his speeches, I want no war, I want no nation building, and I want no regime change. The only thing he wants them to do is stop building their nuclear program, which the whole community is in agreement with, and to stop attacking Americans and other countries. You know, just basically stop killing people. That's all he's asked. Stop your nukes and stop killing people.
Well, it's too late for that, because now both of us have killed several people.
He has told them he doesn't want war. He doesn't want to build their nation like we did with the other administration. He doesn't want the regime change. He wants everything to be just the way they want to do their thing. Just leave everyone alone. That's what. Now, the question is, they were attacking our embassy, and he had plans. Qassam was actually, he has a travel ban from the UN since 2007. He's not supposed to be in Iraq. Why was he in Iraq? He's responsible for 70% of all of Iran's terrorist attacks abroad in the world. Anyone want to touch that one?
What percent again? One more time.
70% of all their terrorist activity abroad in the world was coordinated by their top general. That's what he was in Iraq. That's what he does. That's his job. He is a terrorist. He was in Iraq. He's not supposed to be there, according to the UN agreement. The whole world has agreed this man should not be traveling across the country because he does terrorist activities. So who would like to touch that one?
I want to bring up a point. In August of 2015, the Soleimani visited senior officials in Russia in the city of Moscow, even though there was a United Nations travel ban in place. And he was the chief of the force in the four countries I mentioned previously to coordinate subversive attacks against the U.S., and yes, he was dangerous. And he probably should have been killed before this embassy response, which happened in the last two or four, 3 days. So he has been the problem is I have a question for you guys. If our top military, let's say General Petraeus was still in office, how many Americans would mourn the death of General Petraeus if he died outside of the military circle? Do you think average citizens in our nation would really have an emotional identifier? Like in Iran, these people seem to be really have a lot of, they put a lot of high regard on their top officials.
Actually, half of their people are celebrating that he's dead because he would arrest and kill Iranians that weren't compliant to the clerics. Now, so half of them are rejoicing. There's dancing. You can look up. There's video of people dancing in the streets. There's people who baked a cake celebrating and thanking Trump. And on the other hand, you have the other half that wants death to America, and they're totally pissed off at this. The thing to consider, if Cheney from Halliburton were to be executed, I think a lot of Americans would actually be kind of happy because of the blood that we had in Iraq from exploiting them. So it's kind of a mixed bag. But Petraeus is not in the – or Pompeo is not in the midst of aggressive attacks. You know, as you know, the Trump policy is not war. It's tariffs and sanctions. That is Donald Trump's war. It's money, tariffs and sanctions. He is not an engager to go into other countries. That is a globalist policy. It's Clinton, Bush, and Obama. That's a globalist attitude. It's a UN attitude, but I'll defer to our panel.
Can you tell me how sanctions are done, just so we can get more clarification?
Oh, could you repeat that?
Sanctions. Can you tell how sanctions are done? Like, how are they enforced, or what's
Well,
done?
We don't have time for that tonight, but sanctions are – you did ask that question on another show. Sanctions are basically economic punishment. It means that a country is not willing to trade with another country because they disagree with certain aspects of their treatment of humans, you know, civilians or their foreign policy, but – I did read today that China and Iran have close economic ties, and they also there's also illegal trading between Iraq and Iran where things are sent to Iraq and then they get funneled into Iran. So
right.
All these things
you
you hear about in the news regarding Qassam Soleimani and proxy actions he's taken in Iraq regarding not just war and attacks, but he's also has economic coordination in both of those countries.
Right.
And he has connections with the Syrians.
You can have a soft sanction or hard sanction. So in the past, a soft sanction would be, well, we're not going to buy Iran's gas or certain products. A hard sanction would be like, Russia and China and Japan do business with Iran. We're going to freeze bank accounts in America. Any products we're sending to those countries are going to be filtered and limited based on how hard the sanction is. So it could be, it's kind of like you could have a nice divorce or you can have a hard, unfriendly divorce. And that's what Trump, last couple of years, he's gone to a hard sanction. He's tightening it. He's telling them if you don't negotiate with it, the rope is going to get tighter. So, he wants them to negotiate now, but if they wait, it's going to get even – like, Iran has lost 50% of their dollar currency value in the last couple of years due to Trump. So they had riots in 70 cities where some of the people are starting to get upset because their money's no good. So we'll see – you're going to see more of this kind of desperate, like, let's get into a war, let's get everyone pissed off, because they're getting desperate. They are.
And this Soleimani's the most dangerous aspect of his tampering with other nations is that he was behind the assault of the Yemeni civil war. He was involved in saving the regime of Bashar al-Assad. He was involved with cultivating ties with the Hezbollah in Afghanistan. So anything that the United States supported, he was against. And he directly tried to sabotage the U.S. setting up a stable regime in Iraq after the wars. So he was directly behind those efforts to sabotage whatever America was trying to make for Iraq to be a successful country, which they didn't spend too much time doing, by the way. But anyways, I'll let you guys talk a few minutes.
John? Have we heard
and then
Don?
I know Wade wants to bring up another topic tonight, and I'm going to let him. So go ahead, Don. We haven't heard from you yet.
All righty. Here we go. Soleimani was the principal to most all Middle East affairs. He took care of Iraq police. He took care of the Libyan, Syria, some of Turkey. He did a lot of things for everybody, and it was against American interests, or the American people, actually. But the bottom line is that he was instrumental in taking care of all Middle Eastern, a lot of Middle Eastern police affairs. So there won't be any kind of a war because, just like John said, half of the people in the Middle East are happy he's gone. The bottom line, though, is that there won't be a war because Iran won't be able to muster much of an attack of anything, especially if we go to the Straits of Hormuz and some of the other places that our shipping lanes go. We haven't been buying oil from Iran for a long time. And so there's really no reason for us to really go through the straits or any other waterways there. So
they were trying to speculate today what kind of attack would Iran make if they were to make another major one, and they did mention the Straits of Hormuz.
No attacks. There will be no other attacks from Iran. For years, there won't be anything else that any repercussions that'll come from this, because they're not in the position to really affect any kind of a attack on the U.S. Trump has been very, strategic in the stupidest way possible, and the guy is really stupid. Because basically he's done this crooked mob style without going through Congress. That's the problem.
Well, actually, Russia was the one who called out the U.S. and said that we have to get permission from the U.N. to activate a major drone and military presence back in Iraq.
U.S. Congress. He has to go
Here's a key point. If Trump went to Nancy Pelosi, Adam Schiff, the Bidens, went to all the Kerrys. You understand. Do you know John Kerry's daughter is married to an Iranian diplomat, a nationalist? Did you know that one of their top advisor people was best man at the wedding? Did you know that Peter Strzok's family...
But you know what, John? The War Powers Act says that a president may invade another country, but within 60 days he has to officially go to Congress to get continual approval. So whether somebody's married to someone or not, you still have to go through Congress.
John Kerry,
People can suck my dick.
They would have leaked the mission. They would have leaked the mission. And it would have blown up.
It wouldn't have blown up. It would have been the same thing, except that Soleimani had to. He wouldn't have been on Iraqi soil. This is very much of an act of war. Iraq should be getting ready to blow us up. This is they're getting attacked on their own soil. You're not getting it, Don. It doesn't matter.
Don. If your kids were at the embassy and you knew that they were going to get attacked and killed like Benghazi, and you're the commander in chief, you would take them out. You would let them die.
Don, that's collateral damage. You have to suffer. You have to trust it. You have to trust the process. This is a legal issue. Trump is illegal crook, and he's done it again. It's simple as that. It doesn't matter if Nancy Pelosi's husband was a fucking gay fag who got killed because he was gay in a Muslim country. It doesn't matter if John Kerry's daughter is a spy and looking for Russian interests. It doesn't matter if Hunter Biden made three girls pregnant at once in one big
And two of Donald Trump's former wives are from Russian bloc countries.
His wives.
Who knows? Maybe Russia had a $1 million insurance policy on Ivana Trump's boobs.
You're saying Trump's wives were key military players and diplomatic players.
He's illegal.
Is that what you're saying?
He's a crook. He's a terrorist.
He kills the terrorist who's going to kill more Americans, and Donald Trump's the bad guy.
That's collateral
May I
damage,
tell you guys
Don?
Something? When Iran attacked the oil tanker in the Persian Gulf, no U.S. response. Then Iran shot down 180 million U.S. drone. Trump had no response. He actually thanked them for shooting down a manned aircraft. 3 months later, the Iranians attacked Saudi Aramco. Again, no response from the Trump administration.
It proves
he's been patient.
He's been patient. He has not been reacting to every little thing.
He did it illegally. Tell John.
All right.
He did it illegally. He's a crook.
All right. I guess he did it illegally. I'm still figuring this out.
I think a better way to put it, Don, is he shoots from the hip.
No,
he shoots from the hip.
But some major newspaper publications, including The Atlantic Monthly, is calling this an act of war. They said we are in a war.
He did not declare war on Iran. Troops can at any time, if they're under attack.
He's declaring a war on Iraq.
Don, every day, you know this, every day.
Iraq.
So you're saying if someone's trying to bomb a building in America, we can't do anything about it. He can declare
not
war
on somebody else's soil.
No,
not if they're somebody, not if they're on somebody else's soil. If they're
if they have intelligence, if they have intelligence that someone is going to do,
it's illegal. It's illegal.
It's not.
It's a law against the law.
What do you think we've been doing in Afghanistan and Don? What have we been doing in Iraq and Afghanistan and Syria the last 20 years? Are you, is your head
it's
so far up?
We haven't even declared war on these countries. Every war
there
that we're in is an illegal war. The law.
So how
is
Trump?
Dead.
How
law
is Trump?
Is dead. The law
how is
dead.
Trump doing anything
I
wrong that Obama didn't do?
I wish all the terrorists would kill everybody. Because it's against the law. It's against the law, John. That's
so Obama broke, wait a second. Wait a second, Don. So
Obama
broke
the law?
Obama
yes.
broke the law.
Okay.
Every one
I'm
going
to mute you guys both for 30 seconds because I have to
do
bring up
know?
A point.
Okay.
One moment, please.
Right.
We're going to interrupt this broadcast. We have 15 minutes left, so I can read one quote. There was an attack near Kirkuk on December 27th. A military group called Kitab Hezbollah attacks a K-1 military base near the Iraqi city of Kirkuk. It kills an American contractor and wounds several American and Iraqis. The Hezbollah of Kitab has ties to Iran. On December 29th, Trump orders airstrikes. On December 31st, the embassy compound was attacked, and Pompeo cancels his trip to the Ukraine. On January 2nd, Soleimani is killed, and the whole world reacts on January 3rd when we send 3,000 troops in. If this isn't war, it's the preclusion of war. John and Don, you're back on the air, and we only have...
It's not a preclusion.
We have 13 minutes left.
Not a preclusion.
And Wade hasn't talked
yet.
About sexism
nothing.
Yet.
Nothing has happened. Nothing will happen. There's no preclusion to anything. The only point is that he did it illegally on Iraqi soil. You don't kill somebody on another country's soil, especially a country that's supposed to be a new friend. Go ahead. Go ahead, Wade.
That's a good point, Don.
Yeah, good point. I mean, it seems like everybody's doing it. I mean, with a lot of stuff, impeachment, all this stuff, I mean, it seems like rules have been kind of out the window for a while. So, like, yeah, I believe he did do it illegally. It seems like kind of everybody's doing everything illegally now.
I don't think he did.
I don't know.
If they have intelligence – and we had an attack on the embassy. You just stated it. They attacked the embassy. Soleimani was involved with this stuff. They have intelligence that you don't have. We don't have intelligence.
He's involved
which
with
stupid.
Everything, John. He's involved
you
with
don't
everything.
Have intelligence, which means you're stupid. They have intelligence. It was attacked. This is a response. We can respond to an attack. We have that right as a nation when we have our troops there. That's what the troops are there for. They're not there to stand there and get shot at. If they are attacked... If our people are attacked, they defend it, and that's what he did.
If you're getting paid to scrub the sewer system in Syria, and you're getting paid for it, and you sign the contract, and you know that there are going to be rats and bombs and everything else coming at you, then you sign the contract, and you're going to be scrubbing the sewers in Syria. It's simple as that.
And what's your point, Don?
Is that these people contracted? These people contracted for where they're at. This is collateral.
You're stretching
damage.
The
you
point.
You got to read up. You got to read up on something like that. This is
you're stretching the point, Don. The point is they signed those contracts so you don't turn around and sue the government for $1 billion that you died over there. It's signed under the agreement. You understand that you're at risk and you're not. There's no liability to America. That doesn't weigh our right to defend our people.
But
that doesn't weigh.
That's what Benghazi was about.
Okay, I have a question for you guys.
The termination of Benghazi was that. Is that the?
I have to step away for a minute,
Stephen.
But is our presence from 2003 till now, 17 years, is the United States at what percent is the U.S. at risk for even being in Iraq? And will a peaceful transition ever occur, or will we always be put in the line of danger by just being present in Iraq, where
we're always
really wanted?
We're always put in the line of danger, especially since we're trying to help the Kurds. We have been in Iraq for years and years and years now, just kind of walking around in a daze, going from incursion to incursion. And now that we are entrusted with trying to protect some of the Kurds that are left, then we'll be there for even longer. And now we've prolonged that stuff.
Well, actually,
well,
Trump told
because
all
John and
leave.
I are Christians and so is Wade, we already know how it's going to end. There's going to be a big war in the Middle East. A bunch of people are going to die. Jesus is coming back. And the matriculation of good versus evil will be manifested.
I don't even know why we had this show. When you got Iran, who every person is glad to die. They're going to have 73 virgins waiting for them, and that's a heaven. And they don't mind dying. So I don't even know why we had this show, because death for them is a blessing.
Well, there's 3 points. One, Trump realized that they wanted to have 72 virgins, and he said, let's get these guys laid. Let's take care of the problem. They can go right now. But the point is...
And that's fine.
The point is...
Well,
in America, the goal is getting laid, and the Middle East, the goal is to die to get laid.
Right.
Trump helped them out.
What about the spectrum? This is a good intro into Wade and the sexism he wanted to talk about for 5 minutes.
Well, just to finish this point, because you're talking about the plan, the point is that Trump is actually told all the Americans, get out of Iraq. He told everyone, get everyone out of there. Now, what did I tell you at the beginning of the show? He said, no war. To no nation building. We're not doing nation building like Obama, like Bush, like Clinton. No, we're not doing any of that. He said, and no regime change. We're not trying to take out their regime. This guy was a military guy.
Just so you know, Bill
work.
Clinton did no nation building. All he
God.
Did is protect.
Oh.
No, he protected the civilians in Sarajevo and Yugoslavia in that area.
All these people are the devil incarnate.
Do you know who was in charge of the CIA in 76 under Carter? It was George Herbert Walker Bush. Do you know what the CIA used to do with their plane loads of cocaine and arms? They would fly to Neenah Airport in Arkansas when Bill Clinton was governor, and through the Rose Foundation. You might do a little research on Hillary Clinton. That's where they started all those savings.
You always
got to
blame all the world's problems on Hillary Clinton.
The Clintons.
Yes.
It's a bunch of fucking bullshit.
Wait, this is all garbage.
It's Wade's turn to talk.
Thank you.
It's Wade's turn to talk.
God.
Shut up!
Well, that's all right. It's an interesting topic. I don't know. You know, I've been hearing
all roads lead to Hillary,
like,
Saddam, Clinton, Hussein.
Well, I don't.
They
believe,
do.
Go ahead, Wade.
I agree
Hail
with Tom. I don't believe we're going for a war. You know, the media. I don't trust. I don't trust like CNN and MSNBC because they are so fanatically trying to take Trump down. Anything he does, oh my gosh, is going to destroy the world. So, you know, I don't.
What's your sexism point? What's your sexism point?
Oh, you guys ready for that? Yeah, I was wanting to talk about. Well, I was in the airport the other day, and I was seeing this display of like poems done by some organization. They had some children do poems, but it was only girls. Only girls were allowed, and it was a program for like
having girls write or something. But I was thinking, you know who really needs help with their writing and their grades and stuff in school are boys. So I'm wondering, like, why is it that so many of these nonprofits go in, you know, girls are outperforming boys in school. So you would think, like, let's help the ones that are falling behind, right? But why is it that all these school programs exist that exclude boys, that say, okay, this is for girls? A program that's just for boys is almost unheard of. And I'm thinking it's the same thing, you know, men are more likely to be homeless, more likely to commit suicide, more likely to die from homicide, be attacked violently. Why then do all these charities say we're not going to help men? I don't understand that.
It's easy. Power. It's all about power and money. Men are a threat to the existing leadership, if you want to call it that. And girls don't propose that same problem. Girls are, you know, just the nice, soft, homey type of people, whereas the guys, we need them to dig ditches and fight our wars, and that's about it. So that's where your answer is about the reason that girls are being sponsored and led.
Help, supported, that makes
supported.
Sense.
Right. Boys are a threat to the existing society, and only the boys who are going to be the those who take over are being taught to read and write and be proficient in science and math. So, you know, there are so many things that are in that, your concept or your feeling that it's, you know, we don't have enough time to really go over all of that. But
You guys, I am going to buy premium on Thursday. So, John, is your next day off on Tuesday?
That is correct.
Yeah, I don't know what night we're doing a show. I was going to wait till Thursday, but till I pay for premium. So we'll talk about it next time. But you guys, you have about 3 minutes to wrap it up. So I'm done talking for the night. So go ahead, guys. Good night.
I'll take 1 minute in regards to the women versus men thing. I think what you'll see is the whole Antichrist system is basically destroy male, destroy female also. Women are now superheroes. They are men. They now have their own set of balls. And that's kind of what all the genetic manipulation is. You'll start to see the Baphomet, the half male, half female image. And that's why you're getting a lot of trans. The men are becoming women and beating the women in sports. So they're going to have to find a way to basically neuter all males and society, and that's who would do that? Satan. It's to destroy the God's creation, to mess with it, to F it up, and that's the ultimate rebellion. That's just, you know, just a little side note, but you'll see a lot more of that, just anti-men. It's that, you know, all the movies coming out, you just be more and more super women that are weaker than men, but somehow in the movies with CGI, they can beat the crap out of men. So you'll see a new James Bond. She's going to be female, by the way. That's the next one coming up.
That's
Bond
true.
Is dead. They have to kill him. They had to kill John Connor in the last Terminator. They had to kill him. They couldn't just let him be. Arnold was a wussified man in the last Terminator. So there you go. Oh, same thing with Bruce Jenner, Caitlin, right? That's the whole program.
Well, you're right. And the best way to neuter people, both male and female, is through the food. And I've always been proponent of the fact that our diets are poisoned on purpose, and that's to make the women have more testosterone and the men to eat more estrogen. So, yes, John, you're right about a lot of that.
I see your point. It's a lot to think about. And, yeah, there's got to be an agenda. You know, I mean, and what I'm asking for, like, I can't see how it's not reasonable. It's like, I'm not saying women shouldn't get to have all the opportunities that men do open to them and vice versa. I'm not saying women don't have a right to outperform men. we have a right to outperform each other. You know, women have a right to outperform men. Men have a right to outperform women. Men, you know, that is a right. They have a right to be CEOs or to be tough, to be strong, to want to be superheroes, presidents, whatever. All I ask is if you're going to help people,